Chapter 7. Dr. Strong was happy with how hard I worked. He said I was a promising student, which made Betsy and Mr. Dick very happy. The young butcher in the town didn't like the boys who went to Dr. Strong's school. He beat up two of the younger boys. One day, he stopped me in the street, and I decided to fight him. I lost and had to stay home for 2 days, and Agnes looked after me while I stayed at home. Adam, one of the boys at school, finished his studies and went off to become a lawyer. He was the head boy, and when he left, Dr. Strong made me the new head boy. I felt like I had grown up a lot since I had first come to Dr. Strong's school. Agnes had grown up a lot too. She was just like a sister to me. I was now 17. I was in love with a girl called Miss Larkins. She was 30, and I was worried that I was too young for her, but I would be 21 soon. I decided to go to a ball that I knew that she was going to. I dreamed about Betsy letting me marry Miss Larkins and giving me £20,000. Miss Larkins was a popular girl with all the men at the ball. I asked her to dance with me, and she agreed. Later on in the evening, she introduced me to Mr. Chessel, who made hops for beer. I thought that Miss Larkins was introducing me to a friend of her family. But a few weeks later, she was married to Mr. Chessel. I was angry, so I went to fight the butcher again, but this time I won. I liked Dr. Strong's school, but it was time for me to move on. I spent a lot of time talking to Betsy about what I should do with my life. It was almost Christmas, and Betsy said, "Why don't you go and see Peggotty in Yarmouth?" I agreed. Betsy sent me on my own and she gave me plenty of money. On my way to Yarmouth, I stopped in Canterbury to see Agnes and Mr. Wickfield. I wanted to tell Agnes something. No one is worthy of your love. When you fall in love, I will expect a lot from the man, I told her. David, have you noticed a change in my father? Agnes asked me. He was ill. His hands shook all the time, and he couldn't speak properly. He was always stressed, and when he was at his worst, Uriah Heep called on him to work. The more he worked, the worse he got. I went with Agnes and Mr. Wickfield to see Dr. Strong. He was planning to retire and leave the school to one of the teachers. He asked Mr. Wickfield to draw up the papers for when the time came. Mrs. Markleham talked about Jack Maldon all through tea. She was sure that he was sick and going to die in India. Mr. Wickfield and Dr. Strong made plans to get Jack a job closer to home. Mrs. Markleham made Annie very unhappy all evening, especially when she read Jack's letters to Annie and Dr. Strong to everyone in the room. Mr. Wickfield didn't like Mrs. Markleham. He thought she was taking advantage of his friend. He also didn't like how friendly Annie and Agnes were. I thought about the party when Jack had gone to India. I began to think that Annie and Jack were in love with each other. The next day, I said goodbye to Mr. Wickfield and Agnes and took a carriage to Yarmouth. It was strange to be in the carriage with money in my pocket, but I enjoyed the journey. I went past Salem House and stopped at an inn for dinner in London. I went to the theatre to see Julius Caesar, and when I came back to the inn, I met Steerforth. It was good to see my old school friend. He was studying at Oxford, but had come to see his mother. Our rooms were next to each other at the inn, and we had breakfast together the next day. Steerforth invited me to come to visit his mother for a few days, as I was not in a hurry to get to Yarmouth. He called me Daisy the whole time we were together. He took me to a museum and told me about all the things there. When I got to Mrs. Steerforth's house, there was a girl called Miss Dartle there. She was 30 and very hard to talk to. She knew that Steerforth wasn't learning anything at Oxford. They both talked about rich people and poor people as though they were completely different. They both thought rich people were proper people and poor people were not. When we were alone, Steerforth told me that Miss Dartle was his orphan cousin who looked after his mother. Mrs. Steerforth was proud of Steerforth. She showed me all the old letters that he wrote to her and his baby pictures. She hadn't wanted to send him to Salem House, but she couldn't find a teacher who was humble enough to bow to her son. Miss Dartle was listening to everything that Mrs. Steerforth and I said to each other. When Steerforth called me Daisy in front of her, she asked, "Is it because he is so young and innocent?" "You must think that he is. It is why you are friends with him." Then she went to bed. Steerforth and I stayed up talking about our school days together. When we went to bed, I saw a portrait of Miss Dartle on my bedroom wall. I didn't want to stay at the Steerforth house anymore.